Okay, who are you and why are you here?
Hi, this is Ron Andrews from King Cage.
All right, so we've known each other quite a while.
25 years, maybe?
It's been a huge amount of time. When I first met you, I was working at Fat City Cycles.
I was working at Fat City Cycles. Was I working?
I think you had already left.
No.
All right, but here's the thing. I'm working, doing my thing, and then just this guy comes running through the shop, grabbing something and kind of saying, oh, I need this, and
this is mine.
Ran out, you know, and this is or something like that. But just like, who's this guy? And
why is he here?
Why is he here? And now he's gone or something like that. And they're like, oh, that's Ron. I'm like, what the hell just happened? And it turned out to be you. Okay. So I don't think I ever formally worked with you then, but I saw you around and got to know you a little bit. And let's put ourselves back then. Where had Ron Andrews come from that got him associated with the Fat Chance world? And then, you know, kind of what happened?
My housemate in college worked with Chris Chance making road bikes. I wanted a road bike, so Wayne brought me to work. And I asked Chris if I could work to pay off a road bike that he would make. And so I was working the Sandblaster.
You were like a little lost pup.
I was a grunt under the Sandblaster. And then this guy came in with a Ritchie mountain bike. And
you were doing road bikes at the time.
This was road bikes only. This mountain bike thing hadn't started yet. John Troja comes in with this Ritchie mountain bike. And from that day, we got tired of road bikes and made mountain bikes.
Because you guys were a crew. I've heard a few stories over the years. But, like, so a mountain bike goes into the Chris Chance bikes world. And everybody's just like, we got to build that.
Way more fun than these little skinny bikes with the wind-up skinny bike racers.
Okay. So what happened next?
Gary turned up. Gary Helfrich turned up. And he could TIG weld. I guess the early mountain bikes were brazed because that's what Chris could do. So old school, just similar to the Ritchies, fillet brazed. 1¼-inch down tube, straight gauge, chromoly, TA cranks. And as everyone else evolved, the tubing evolved, the parts evolved, and Chris evolved with it. And that's what Fat City is now.
And basically, you were there building the Fat City legend type of thing.
I was, yeah. Before even mountain bikes started, I was there helping out. I worked at the machine shop at the college, so they would let me use the machine. So
Wait, which college?
Northeastern.
Okay, that's where you went to school?
Yeah. So I had access to a lathe, so I could make parts like the seat collars for me.
You were making those for Chris Chance bikes?
Yeah, the adapters, those the skinny down to the 7/8.
Was it Fat Chance then, or was it still Chris Chance?
I think Troja came up with the Fat Chance logo, or that name, that collaborated pretty quickly. It was Fat Chance right away.
Okay. So you started making the bikes, and what happened? You guys started riding them then, too.
Then when we go on these, Charles River Wheelmen was the local road bike club that would go out on their Saturday, Sunday rides. We would show up on our mountain bikes and just terrorize them. We'd be on the sidewalks, over in the edge, on the gravel, and they'd be all pace lined through and get those guys all wound up with our shenanigans.
So how did that all progress, and how did you progress with it?
It turned into a fun thing to do. The mountain bike people were fun, way more fun than the road bike people. So the camaraderie thing, you know, people were excited about mountain bikes more than they were about road bikes. They were like sort of any person's bike.
It wasn't just a new thing. It was just a whole different way of looking at it.
And just, I mean, it was like big kids on BMX bikes. They probably stopped riding their BMX bikes back before when they got a car. Now they're like out of real bike that was fun to ride off-road, on-road.
Okay, so you guys are doing the early mountain bikes. What kind of, like, did you develop in there? I mean, you're around a bunch of creative people, but you're a very creative guy, and you're known for that. What kind of role did you have in most of that stuff?
Production tooling was what I did well. Those guys could come up with the tube sizes and that sort of thing, but we need a bend here. And I was like, okay, we could figure this out. And then as production got bigger and bigger, there were bottlenecks. So I would work on the bottlenecks, like a machine that would quickly clamp the tubes and unclamp and make them repeatable, so we could do lots of bikes instead of just singles.
So, you know, if you need to take a break to deal with some stuff, feel free.
Okay.
Just let me know.
Commercial break?
Yes, commercial break. He's making money, so we're going to pause. Okay, we're back in.
Hello.
Okay, so your specialty was production tooling. You were doing a good job there, and Gary was welding. Chris was designing and doing Chris stuff. Then what happened with Ron?
I raced for Fat City, and then towards the end there, I've done a lot of it. The projects were getting bigger, and I just wanted to move on. So I was making tooling for other people. I would make tooling for Wojcik or some for Ibis.
Were you at Merlin and stuff too? I guess Merlin hadn't happened, but later.
No, Merlin was there then, and I moved into the workspace with Mike Augsburger at One Off Titanium. And one of Mike's clients asked if they could get it, because he wanted everything on his bike titanium. The client asked if he could make a titanium water bottle cage. Mike asked me, he says, Ron, can you do it? And yes, I did. I made a titanium cage for his customer and been doing it ever since. Now 27 years, probably.
Okay. It's been a long time. And you're the guy. You're known for it. You're the guy.
King Cage.
The king. Okay. So you do that. You're over at that space. What changes happen in your world?
I had a kid, my wife and I, moved to Concord, and then got a job offer at Yeti to live in Colorado. So we packed up everything.
So that's what drew you out there, is the Yeti production factory there.
So then I worked there for a year working on
all... Is that pre-Schwinn or...
What? Yeah, pre-Schwinn. Just making their tooling, same thing. Making it quicker to make their bikes better and quicker.
Uh-huh. Did you work a lot with Mert at the time?
Mert was after me.
Okay.
This was just pre-suspension, or just as they were doing their ASs. So we'd help them adjust. As forks were getting longer... Their machinery didn't adjust for longer fork lengths, so their bikes were just getting the wrong angles. So I went through all their tooling and corrected it all for the new longer forks.
What was your impression? Like, you had come out of this, you know, the Boston Northeast area. Like, we both come from there, so we know how incestuous it is and how self-referential it is. And then stepping into something where... You know, you go to Durango, a company that just left Los Angeles and was suddenly in the hills of Colorado, and it's a whole different thing. What was your impression on that and mountain biking as a whole, having come from the Northeast world?
Equally incestuous, but just from the West Coast to the Middle instead of the East Coast in. So they were similar. Everyone knew each other.
What was the differences you saw in, like, how bikes were made or how things were done between the two coasts at that time?
They're all really similar. People.
It's metal fabrication.
Yeah, metal fabrications. Everyone's got their little ideas here and there, but basically they're cutting tubes with a Bridgeport. And...
Okay, so you've been in Durango, you've been making King Cage and stuff like that, but, you know, every now and then on the radar, I always hear some weird project or something that was happening, and the person behind it was you. What kind of stuff, or who calls you while you're out there, and, like, kind of, you know, you're one of those guys behind things, and you don't get the front page news.
Yeah,
what sort of stuff is like that?
Local breweries I work for. There's a cheesemaker I make cheese presses for. I mean, I don't want to make another one, but I've made two for him, but I don't want to make them for any else. It's just local people.
Haven't you done a lot of belt sander racing?
I've done belt sander racing, fat bike riding. I have some bunch of good friends that do desert riding on fat bikes. That's been lately.
Was that you that built that big bicycle arch thing that was in Durango at one time?
There was a bike arch for a Reebok commercial for Missy Giovi.
That got a lot of press.
It got a lot of press.
And not too many people associate it with you.
No. I know.
What? Come on. Feed me some info, bro. What else?
Yeah, I don't even know what else is out there.
What are you looking forward to? You're always coming to the show with some sort of new little gadget and stuff like that. I'm not necessarily looking for what you have now, but, like, where are you going?
Is a dustpan.
You're going to do a dustpan.
Titanium dustpan and an American-made brush.
Wow. That's cool.
That's
so bespoke.
Don't tell anyone, though. It's top secret.
You got to do that fancy wrapping that they do on...
The leather tassel.
The weird leather and lacquer and all that sort of stuff.
Cotton tape and beeswax.
Beeswax. Lots of beeswax.
Mustache wax.
Cool. Thank you so much, Ron. Thanks for the interview.
Thank you. Good day.